You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
But we're going to give it a shot. Praise the Lord. Joshua is leading the people of Israel in. They have taken their first time around in the book of Numbers, going into the promised land, and it failed. They sent the 12 spies in, and that was not the failure. The failure came way before, when they allowed all this murmuring to start to disrupt the pattern of unity that God had created. So Numbers chapter 10, chapter 11 is really the highlight. I mean, it's the height of really being people of the presence, and it's a beautiful description of the cloud would move, and they'd pack up camp and follow the cloud. The cloud would settle down. They'd stop there. They'd make camp, stay there as long as that cloud was there. They started doing that. All the murmuring started going through the camp, so that by the time the 12 spies went into the land, it was already poisonous waters, and they missed their opportunity. That whole generation, 40 years, they got to wander around in the wilderness, and that whole generation has to pass off before Joshua can step up and lead them. Joshua and Caleb, the two spies with the good report, are the ones that get to lead Israel in. And they come to this point. Moses doesn't even get to go in. And here they are with this opportunity before them again. They've got to cross the Jordan. They have to make the effort now. They are to this place once again. God has been gracious. He's been gracious in that He has allowed them to come back to this point again. A place to cross over still into that promise. And Moses, in his last days, through the book of Deuteronomy, has unpacked the law of God again to them and let them know. And they have gone through this taking of the vows, and the tribes have been separated, and they've read these vows to each other. This is what happens when we will obey the law. This is what happens if we disobey the law. We will agree to this. And here's Joshua as he is given the mantle. And the call here all the way through, and if you've read Joshua chapter 1 a few times, you know that the phrase that gets repeated is the phrase, be strong and courageous. And then it's this call to walk through this, to find that place where they can really walk through this whole process of consecrating themselves, getting across the Jordan, and then getting into the battle to claim the promised land. As they get ready, and then end of Joshua chapter 3 into the beginning of Joshua chapter 4, they cross the Jordan, and they do a particular thing. As they're crossing over, the Lord commands Joshua to pick 12 men, one from each tribe, to go into the bottom of that river, pick up a stone and bring it out and set it on the other side and create a monument. And we're going to talk a little bit about that particular act today. But I want to start with this one question, and if you've got your markers here that are in the middle of your bulletin, the question of the day is this, that the house is on fire and you can get out. What one thing, not a person or a pet, would you grab on the way out and why? Let's just assume all the people and the pets are out, okay? So get that off your mind. Everybody's good, okay? Everybody's good. We good now? Phew. Fluffy's gonna die! No, Fluffy's fine. Fluffy's out, okay? What one thing would you grab and why? Your purse, why? It's got all your important stuff in it. Your what?
My signed autograph card.
Oh, it's that dead guy again. It's that. Yeah. Al. Your yarn? That's two things. All they're together. Wrap the press canvas with the yarn, then you can just grab the yarn. That'd work. Your cell phone? Why? Good. What else? What would you take and why? You got one thing. The refrigerator. Yeah. I know Katie didn't say that one. Yeah. Yeah. I might starve! Hector's always thinking of food. I'm gonna eat. Pardon? Bible? Yeah. They take, pardon? Nothing. Let it burn! Yeah. Yeah, the people. Yeah, get the people out. Is everybody safe? Those are the things that you think about the most. That's why I wanted to get that out of the way. You know, I remember the time that Joshua called up and he had totaled my car. I remember that. You know? And I remember my first question. Are you okay? And is everybody else okay? Yeah, now I will kill you. But I wanted to know. I wanted to know he was okay, and I wanted to know anyone else that could have been involved was okay. Car can get replaced. People can't. You know? But they take these stones of remembrance, and they set them up on the other side. And as we walk through this, just some things that I want to point out here in chapter 1, in verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. No one will be able to stand against you. We need to hear this call of faith that God has indeed prepared a way for us. Think of the courageous things that we have done as a church in the past year. The courageous things also that the Lord has had you walk through personally as in your faith walk. You know, in a year ago, we began to dream of a new idea, and we talked and we prayed, and here we are at the Jordan. A year ago, this idea, these particular ideas, weren't even on our radar. It would be another month. It would be June of last year where the Lord began to stir my heart, and then we began to pray as leadership team to see what the Lord would have. And we look back and we look how far the Lord has taken us. And it's a process of listening and stepping out, listening some more and stepping out some more, and to realize that we come to this place, and all of it has been just an amazing journey to me, just looking back on all the things that have come. And I come to this place right now, especially as we're getting ready to close on the property and look for the new things. I look at all of that, and I look at the timing of the Lord, and I am absolutely astonished. I'm just blown away by His timing in helping us get to the next thing. You know, and the thing about it is that all along the way, the enemy wants to stop us. The enemy wants to slow us down. And we are at a crossing point without much knowledge of what is ahead, but yet here we are. And it's looking like, it's like we're looking at the Jordan, and that's what they note in Joshua chapter 3. The Jordan is at flood stage. It's a wild, rushing river. And it's like we're looking at the Jordan at flood stage, and where the Lord is saying, cross that. And this is the place where the enemy can taunt. This is the place where the enemy can say all kinds of things. The enemy can say, you've made a mistake. You haven't planned this out well enough. You don't know where you're going. And the constant thing, every once in a while pops up, this is a bad idea. You know, this is not good. You know, but the enemy will taunt. And I think, sometimes I think, you know, in leadership, you know, you get that idea of, you know, here's Joshua with Israel bringing them to the Jordan at flood stage and says, we're going to go over there. And Israel's got to be at a point where they look at him and going, you want us to cross that? And sometimes I get a feeling that sometimes, you know, that may be crossing your minds. You want us to do what? You want us to, what? You know, and it's that thing of sometimes we can look at ourselves and go, are you sure? And it is in this time we need to hear those words from the Lord to Joshua. Look at verse 7 here in chapter 1. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And it is our time. It is our time to hear these words, to be courageous, to be strong, to understand that we don't need to fear and that we don't need to walk in discouragement anymore. So what I want us to do is to stop and right now and pray. And this is a time where we want to be people of the Word and people of the presence. So whether you have a physical Bible that you have, or if it's on your phone, it's a digital Bible, or you're standing next to someone with a Bible, what I want us to do is just to stand right now. And what I want us to do is just to commit ourselves back to this sense of being people of the book. So I want us to stand. And if you have a physical Bible, just hold it out. Or if it's on your phone, that's okay. Hold your phone out. Make sure you exit out of Facebook real quick. And just hold it out there. And if you don't have one with you, just get next to someone. And let's just put our hands as a touch point on this. And let's just lift up our commitment right now to the Word of the Lord. So Lord, we lift up this physical representation of the Word of the Lord. And Lord, we are thankful for Scripture that is given to us, Scripture that guides us. But Lord, it is this Scripture that leads us to the living Word, to Jesus Christ. And so Lord, help us to be faithful to the written Word, that we can hear clearly the living Word. Lord, I ask that you would help us to have a renewed sense, a renewed hunger for the Word. Lord, help us to have a renewed hunger to hear your voice in our lives again. Lord, I pray that there would be this great adventure that we would have, that as we open up this written Word, or we open it up on our apps, on our phones, or however we study the Word, that the Holy Spirit, there would be those wonderful, powerful, special times where that Word just leaps up and comes into our hearts. Lord, that there would be a sense of the living Word interacting with the written Word, and revelation happens in our lives. Lord, help us to be obedient people, to have strength, to have courage in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. I also want to take an opportunity, because for us as leaders, we need strength and courage and wisdom and discernment. We've got Nick back there and Pastor Grace up here and Ida here and Kelsey back there. Would you just get near one of these leaders right now? And maybe a couple of you come around Terry and I, you know. And I want you to pray, and I want you to gather around and pray right now, because as we walk through this, in these next steps, we just need the discernment and wisdom of the Lord. So let's just take a couple of minutes here. Thank you, Lord. Ida's up here. Make sure somebody gets around her. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just pray over those staff members and those leaders right now in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I'm grateful for leaders who are brave, strong, courageous. They long to hear your Word. They long to hear your leading. They long to hear your Spirit say, this is the way, walk in it. Lord, I'm thankful for these great leaders that you have gifted this church with. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint us in these next steps. Lord, for all of us as a church, may we have a sense of this is the way. This is where the Lord's leading us. This is what we're going to be doing. Lord, help us to have that clear sense as we move forward. In Jesus' great name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for praying. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. One of the things I love about Joshua in chapter 2, Joshua learns as a leader. How many spies did Moses send out? 12. How many spies did Joshua send out? 2. That's a smart guy. That's a smart guy right there, you know. Those two guys go out, and that's one of those great chapters because they're going over. They go over to Jericho, check it out. And there's Rahab who houses the spies and gives them protection and speaks words of blessing over Israel and what God has done. You know, but it's I love that story because it was, you know, the first time Joshua learned, and too many spies spoiled the report, and Joshua knew that the way ahead was already sure, and he just wanted to get the way scouted out. He sent them out and said, I don't care what you think of that land. I just want you to give me a status report in Jerusalem or Jericho. That's all I need. You give me that, you get back here. That's all I want. You know, I don't care whether you think we're going to get this done or not. We're going to get it done. You know, and but he takes that courage. Then in Joshua chapter 3, everything's getting ready, and then and there is that sense of consecration. In verse 5 in Joshua chapter 3, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And we need our lives consecrated. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be ready for the next move. And as we keep moving forward, we need to know and understand that the Lord is about to do amazing things. He has done amazing things, and He will do even more amazing things. God has shown up on time every time in this process. And He is showing up on time now, and we dare not stop. But here is something different that Joshua instructs. When Moses is at the Red Sea and they're leaving Egypt, Moses stands, waves his staff, and the waters part. This time, Joshua instructs the priest, you got to pick that ark up, you got to get that ark on your shoulders, you got to get out in the river. And it was when the last priests carrying the ark got their feet in the river. So the first priests are out in the river, okay, at flood stage. And they're moving out and they're waiting for these guys, the last guys, to get in. And then the waters will part. You know, it's the leaders who had to lead. Moses got to wave his staff. The priests had to carry the ark into the river. And they had to all be in for the waters to part. And these are days as leaders for our board and our staff. And that's why I wanted you to pray for each of them. Because there is a sense that we are up to our necks and the water's moving fast, you know. And as leaders, we have to step in and we can't hold back. But here's the thing. We're counting on you. Because you got to get us, you got to go with us across, you know. And so don't leave us neck deep in the river, okay? We all move in faith, and we all move ahead on dry ground. And we need to hear the word of the Lord today. The enemy will not come in on us like a flood. His weapons will not prosper against us. We will move through in victory. Amen? So we come to Joshua 4, and they come through. And the Lord, as the priests go back and bring out the stones of remembrance, and they set up a memorial. And there are lots of things that I've tossed around about what that looks like for us. And there are a couple of things that we've talked about as a staff and for us of how do we create that sense of moving from this place to the next place and just thanking the Lord for where He has brought us and to remember, to not forget where the Lord has brought us. What He's brought us from, what He's leading us to. So we just decided we're going to let you just tear up the pews as you leave today. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, okay? Do not tear up the pews as you leave today, okay? Kind of like the last game at an old ballpark. You know, everybody wants to sit there and then they're ripping the seats out of the stadium as they leave, you know, in the last game of the season, you know. Don't do that. We've talked about different things. We've got the communion table, and probably in the space that we're going to be in, it's probably due to space constraints. We need to repurpose it in some way. We've talked about a redesign on that. Even an old pulpit that's in the back that most of you have never seen. And to repurpose that and to do it in some way that it adds to the coffee shop, adds to our worship service, and just a reminder, just something that says, hey, look where we've come from, look what the Lord is doing. But it's that remembrance. And then as we schedule our last service, and we're just going to be on a different time schedule than we thought a couple of months ago, but as we schedule that last service in this building, and we get ready to transition, before we make our move to a new place, I want us to build a story of remembrance. So what I would like you to be thinking of over these next few weeks is to think about what God has done in your life in this church and what God has done in this place. And think about that. And part of what I want to do on the last day, the last service that we have here, is to take some extra time before the service and maybe during the greeting time, but have a video set up and just hear from you. Have you give a video testimony of what the Lord has done, and to give thanks for where we are, and to take that as a digital remembrance, and just to compile that, just to say we give thanks for where God has brought us, we give thanks for where God has done to this point, and then to move on. And then there are some things that we won't take with us, but that are really important, so we're going to do some different things. And I had this at the business meeting back in March, but we found, as Jake and Missy were working through some of the old documents about, you know, things to keep and things to carry along, one of the things that they found was this particular box, which has the original Constitution and bylaws in it for the church, and the first letter that calls a meeting for the church. And then there's some really juicy letters. There's some controversy, and there's some letters from the pastor to the district, and some letters from the district to the pastor at the time, and all. There's some good stuff in here. Yeah. And then there's one particular time that was just before the time we came, and there's even better stuff in that one. Yeah. And so what I'm going to do is we're gonna send these down to the Assemblies of God archives so they can have them in a place that they're stored properly, and it's a place of remembrance. Another thing that'll go is this amazing picture of what it was like in this church down in the basement. They built the basement first, as they had cash for it, and then we're standing on the roof, and they had church down there for several years until they could afford the money to build this upper structure. And so there's a picture of a church service down there. One Sunday back in the early, maybe late 40s, early 50s, this upper structure is built in 54. Another thing that's going to make it down there is some minutes, and I think Nick found these, and these are from the board minutes and the business meeting minutes of when Terry and I came here, and some of the discussion that went on. There's some really good stuff in that too. So, but we remember. And we reflect, and we give thanks, you know. And these original documents are to be remembered, and we want to honor what God has done in this place as we move forward in faith, you know. And so as we do that, we just want to give thanks to God for what He's done, for where He's brought us to this point, what He has been able to do in this location, and just to realize it's time for the next thing, and we're crossing over. But to leave that remembrance to not forget what the Lord has done. It is good to remember His faithfulness often. And He has been faithful. And He will be faithful. Amen? So as we get ready to make that move, just some things to remember out of this story in Joshua. The first thing is this. Pray for courage in these days ahead. Pray for courage in these days ahead. Pray for courage in your own life. Pray for courage in our lives as a church. Pray for courage in the lives of your leaders here in this church. You know, and to remember, we're doing this for the sake of our community. that the Lord has brought us to this point to do the next thing so that more people have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and we can interact with them in a more meaningful way and we can see light come into darkness. His word, listen to me, friends, His word will not fail us now. His word will not fail us now. He has not failed us before. He will not fail us now. Amen? So we pray for courage. The second thing is recount the faithfulness of God. Remember the good. Remember the good of what's gone on here. Those are things that are precious to me. Our boys were essentially raised here. Baptized here. We came here 97, 98. It was right it was in the era of the Brownsville Revival, and we had seen some, we had some really special services here, but I know that time period where we had really special services. Joshua was 8, 9 years old, 10 years old. It was a Sunday night. We had Sunday night services here. It was a Sunday night. Everybody was gone. Well, we'd had a little bit of fellowship, and I was sitting in the office, and the sanctuary was already, we'd already turned the lights off. Joshua couldn't have been 9 or 10, comes into the office and says, "Dad, can I go pray at the altar?" I was like, "Sure." And he just came up, and I just saw him through the dark, and I just saw him up here just praying. And I just waited as long as he wanted, and after a few minutes, he got up and came back. And it was right after that, the services just exploded in power. We had several weeks of just this amazing just presence of God that just came into this place. And Sunday after Sunday, the worship was just off the charts, powerful. People were healed. We had people delivered. There were a few people that were saved during that time. And I think back to that night where my oldest was just 9 or 10 years old and said, "Dad, can I go pray?" You know? And I think of those times. I think of the VBSs that we've had here and the outreaches that we've had here and the lives. And I look at your lives and I see changed lives. And it's happened in a place. There is a place for that. And you give thanks to that. So remember the faithfulness of God. Often. Remember the good. And then recount that faithfulness. And when we get to that last service, we'll remind you along the way. But we want to leave that digital testimony of God's goodness. Third thing is this. It's time to step in the river. And I've mentioned this several times now. We need to physically get this done. We need to physically be in place. We don't need to live virtual faith lives. We need to live physical faith lives. So I want you, you know what? I am going to change this up because I don't think, is it? It's not raining right now, is it? Okay. So I am going to change this up. I'm going to invite you. We're going to take communion. We're going to do it outside. And we're just going to serve communion outside. So I'm just going to bless the emblems in here, and then we'll take them outside, and there'll be several of us that'll just hold the emblems, and I just want you to take them, and then as you're served, just take them and hold them, and then we're going to get in a circle, probably out in the parking lot. Grass might be too wet, but we'll find a place, and we're going to pray over the property again, and we're going to give thanks, and then we're going to say, "Lord, lead us forward." Okay, so we're going to take communion that way today, and then we will be done. Praise the Lord. We are so grateful for the Lord's faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning, and our lives need that reset every week. When we come to worship and we worship at the table, it's that reset for us to say, "Lord, help me get the spiritual compass back to true north. So we worship today, and we remember those words that were given to us in the Gospels and by Paul. We remember the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, in the same way, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it, gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and drink. This is the new covenant, my blood, which is given for you for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you stand with me? I want to bless the emblems, and then we'll lead the way out, and I'm going to ask Donnie and Johnny, you okay with carrying this stuff out? Okay. And Rick, if you'd help me with carrying this stuff out. But we're going to bless the emblems, and then I'm going to ask these guys to lead us out, and then we'll find a place over here where we'll just gather. I want you to take the emblems and then hold them, and then we'll gather in a circle, and we'll pray together and take them together. Lord, thank you for the gifts that you give your body. Empower these gifts to your church. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, I pray as we move into this particular time, we are at the Jordan, and there are some respects we feel like it is at flood stage, but Lord, the waters are parting. The waters are parting. So Lord, help us to walk in the faithfulness of our Savior, broken before this world, but renewed by the blood of Christ. Lord, we are whole because you broke yourself to bring wholeness into our lives. So let us take that wholeness into this broken world. And Lord, let us literally do it in a very symbolic way, but literally put our feet on the ground. Bless this property. Bless the next thing as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Donnie, if you would help, and Johnny and Brother Rick. Go. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, and you guys lead on out and, go down the middle. Completely unscripted. I know you don't think that, but it is.